Is this for you or is this for... Okay, very good. John Kurtz, K-Man in Manhattan, joins us here on our Sprint Guest Line. He's brought to you by our friends at Applause Custom Sight and Sound. Listen, three local basketball games tipping at the exact same time tonight. Can you watch them all? I can. That was my inspiration for calling Applause Custom Sight and Sound. I wanted to be able to watch all the football games, all the basketball games, whenever I wanted. You can build your ultimate man cave, your ultimate sports theater, as well as wire in your lighting, your alarm, your security systems, everything else. The ultimate smart home is sitting there waiting for you at Applause Custom Sight and Sound. See them online at applausetheater.com or call 913-498-1183. Wi-Fi all over the house. Outside, even, yes, they do it all. It's Applause, Custom Sight, and Sound. Mr. Kurtz, sir, thank you for joining us here on our Sprint Guest Line. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Saran. How about yourself?
Not bad. Let's start with basketball, actually. I think the K-State Wildcats, we did a little exercise where we said, okay, what's a pass, what's a fail for each one of the local teams? And I think the Cats are the hardest one to get our arms around. They're picked ninth, although one of the things I saw that had a pick ninth, which was where they were in the media poll, too, I believe. But had them with a 7-11 record, which, you know, seems like a pretty generous record for finishing ninth in the league. What do you think is a pass season for the Cats and Bruce Weber, where they're at right now? And what do you think is a fail season for this team?
I think the bar really has to be set at NCAA tournament. You know, I think obviously getting there last year was nice. A lot of the fans still want to see him advance and actually win some games in the tournament, which hasn't happened for Bruce Weber in a long time. But I just don't see how at this point in the Bruce Weber era you don't have that as your baseline for a season. And especially when you have this group of guards and forwards, the group that's been together for a while now, Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, and Dean Wade, you know, they've been talking about them for 2 years. Hey, when these guys get older, they're going to be some of the better players in the league. Well, that time is now. They're upperclassmen as juniors. It's really time for them to start producing. I think you throw in Xavier Sneed, and they've got a pretty nice nucleus there of Big 12 talent. So I think based on what they have returning, even though there are a ton of new guys, basically nine new players that have not really played for this team that are going to be in the fold this year, I still think you have to start at the NCAA tournament. And to me, that's a pretty hard line.
That being said, what are we, about 10 minutes away from Bruce Weber telling us how young his team is? That's an annual birthright for Cat basketball fans, right?
Yeah, it is. And I totally understand a lot of the frustration. And I think sometimes Bruce Weber doesn't do himself any favors with some of that and what people would, you know, deem as some excuses. And there are going to be some growing pains. I mean, like I said, you don't roll out there nine new players very easily, I think, and have everything work right off the bat. And we're seeing it already. I mean, in the exhibition games, they've had a hard time getting production down low. That's where a lot of the newcomers are, basically four guys competing to play down low right now. So I think, you know, when you have all that going in there, you probably are going to hear that some from Bruce Weber. You just hope it's not that big of an issue.
And let's start right there with this team. Who are the guys competing, and who ultimately do you think wins out?
Well, Mato Sala is one down low, along with McCall Maywean. Those two are the guys that are really competing right now, getting their first shot down low. And I think beyond that, you have some freshmen. Levi Stockard is another one right now. And those three are really, the big ones competing for Bruce Weber. Beyond that, I think you're getting into some guys further down the bench. It's going to be a tough go.
Reality is this team is not going to get production down there, right? I mean, even Dean Wade's not going to get down on the blocks and do work. He's kind of a you know, a stretch four more type of player, you know, to use an NBA term on a college kid. I mean, they need to be more the true motion offense, right?
Yeah, Dean Wade, I think, is the key to the season. I think Dean Wade, if you can get what he did the other night, 20 points, 10 rebounds on 11 shots, that's really what you need. And they want him to be aggressive. They want him to be taking upwards of 12 shots a game. I think that's what you got to have. I mean, to me, he is the guy that has the biggest ceiling on this team. And while you can talk about Barry Brown and it becoming his team, I think Dean Wade is the guy that really holds the key to whatever this season is going to be. Now, I don't think they're going to be all that great down low, like you said. But if you can get Dean Wade becoming more of a player, becoming more aggressive inside, then all of a sudden I think the season could totally turn around and become, you know, a team that goes to the NCAA tournament.
So what do we think Stokes and Brown are going to be? I mean, I'm talking like give me some points type of per game numbers.
Yeah, I think Barry Brown right now is the one that is taking on a lot of the leadership, but he's got to become a better shooter. I think both he and Stokes really need to become better shooters in general. And that, you know, Kamau Stokes has some turnover problems as well, and that's shown its head in exhibition play with him and Barry Brown. I think if you can just get them to settle down, become better shooters, all of a sudden that'll open some things up, but it remains to be seen whether or not they can be consistent in that. So I don't have as high hopes for them as I do with Dean Wade and even Xavier Sneed. It's really been Dean Wade and Xavier Sneed that have been the two best players so far in exhibition play for K-State. I think I have more question marks about the backcourt and Stokes and Brown.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of the talk about Stokes and Brown, we were talking about guys that last year Stokes shot 356 from the floor. 356. Brown crushed him at 412. These are not sharpshooters. I'm with you. Sneed, year two, year one to year two, you can make the biggest jumps. And, you know, I don't want to put too much on Dean Wade's remarkably narrow shoulders for his height. I think there is something there, but I also think, is it just that he does a lot of things okay, and so we think he's this tremendously skilled player, and in reality, you know, he's a master of none. He's got many, many trades, many tools, whatever it is, but a master of none.
Yeah, I can see that. I can certainly see that as a description for him. But I think he's going to be very key, and I think he does have the potential to be kind of a Wesley Owundu type of player. He is a better shooter, I think, at this stage in his career. So I think that's a leg up already. But he's got to be able to do more, score and attack off the dribble, which we actually did see the other night in exhibition play, which I think was really encouraging. So, like I said, they're really pushing him hard. He went overseas to play a little bit this offseason, too, that they said he came back, and Bruce Weber was saying found his mojo after that trip, using an Austin Powers reference. But they really felt like he discovered himself there. And if he can keep on that same path, you may see him be one of the best players on this team.
By the way, Kurtz, how old are you?
I am 28.
You don't need to tell me where the mojo reference comes from, for God's sake, man. You know, I caught the Austin Powers part, baby.
Come on, throw me a freaking bone here.
Exactly. Well, it was well done. It was the second year in a row at Media Day Bruce Weber has quoted a movie. So yeah. We got Caddyshack the year before.
No, that's huge. All right. I didn't know you were scoring at home, but good to know. Listen, I'm with you. And Wade is the guy. You know, you talk about it. He's got three-point distance. When he shoots, he makes it. But is he willing? You mentioned it. He's got his mojo back. Well, he needs to not just be confident. He needs to become the alpha dog. I do think he's the guy, he and Sneed, that have the biggest scoring potential for these teams because of his ability to shoot from outside. But he's got to let it go. And, you know, he just so often deferred to others that, you know, I hope now in his third year he's ready to, you know, take the bull by the horns and go get it done for this team. Is this schedule more difficult than a lot of people are letting on? Everyone talks about that cream puff schedule. There are some big league names on there in Arizona State, Vanderbilt, Washington State, you know, eventually Georgia in the Big 12 SEC. That's four non-cons against power leagues. Or no, have they artfully selected the bottom feeders from other leagues?
Yeah, I don't buy into too much this schedule being all that difficult. I think it's a really manageable schedule. I think it's sort of the same thing that we saw last year, where they're going to have a chance to work their way up pretty gradually and all of a sudden have 14, 15, 16 wins potentially before they lose a game. I do think that possibility exists. You know, to me, I haven't gone in and looked a ton at what they have specifically with like Washington State, Arizona State, Vanderbilt, teams like that, to see specifically what they're going to be this year. But I think the general consensus around here has kind of been that, yeah, this is a schedule that is going to allow for the team to build up some confidence early in the year, which is, for the most part, how Bruce Weber has done it since he's been here in Manhattan.
There are some big names out there that they're trailing in the recruiting. Is there any belief that they're actually going to land them?
Well, I would say that Bruce Weber has probably recruited better in his time in Manhattan than most people would give him credit for. For instance, Xavier Sneed, who we've talked about some already, was a nice recruit, a four-star recruit, and they just brought in his high school teammate, who's a three-star point guard. But I would say if you're talking about real high-level recruits, I don't have too much belief that they're going to go out there and be bringing in high four and five-star kids here. where they have to live is just the Marcus Fosters of the world, the kind of underlooked three stars that are very good players, but maybe haven't gotten quite as much attention as they should have in the recruiting process. So I'm never going to be a guy that sits here and thinks that they are going to have a bunch of success going after top-tier recruits just in general.
John Kurtz is with us from KMAN in Manhattan on our Sprint guest line. Let's turn our attention to football. Where is right now the fan base when it comes to Bill Snyder and the season they're having?
Well, it's interesting. I think last week changed things in a hugely positive direction for most people. I think the feeling still exists out there that, like we talked about the last time I was on, there are some of the same issues with the program continuing to rear their ugly head, so to speak. And one win over Texas Tech, a comeback win where you got a break and a 31-yard missed field goal, I don't think totally wipes all that off the board. But this team was so starved for just a win of any kind against a team with a pulse, really, this year, that I think that at least brought back some good feelings for a week. And it was fun to see him win. And it was fun to see him win with a young quarterback, to see Skylar Thompson, you know, do what he did, a guy who's been so hyped in the program to win the game the way that he did. I think that helps as well with some of the fan excitement, getting people back on board at least to see, hey, what's going to happen the rest of this year, and do we have something here in this Skylar Thompson kid at quarterback? I think that has helped bring some people back around, but there's still just a general feeling like, hey, there are still some of the same problems here with the program.
Yeah, okay. Who's going to be the quarterback this week?
Well, my best guess would be that regardless of what they want to do, it's going to have to be Skylar Thompson, because I just don't know how you watch Alex Delton two straight weeks go take hits like he has taken and leave the game with head issues, concussion issues. And Bill Snyder even confirmed after the game last week that it was dizziness that that he was battling. I don't know how that happens and you throw him out there the next week. I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly what's happening there with the protocol, but my best guess would be they're going to have to play Skylar Thompson, Alex Delton. And I know that Bill Snyder continues to roll out there that Jesse Ertz may be able to play. I'm just not going to believe that until I see it. It's going to take me actually seeing Jesse Ertz being out there physically on the field. He didn't even travel with the team to Lubbock last week, so I'm not really buying that. I think Bill Snyder's just trying to create an environment where the opposing coach has to prepare for three quarterbacks. But if you put a gun to my head, I would say Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, just try to burn some preparation time from the other coach is why he keeps mentioning it. Who's the quarterback in 18?
Well, another good question, and I think Delton will be given every chance to win that job. I would not go ahead and write him out of this, even though I still think Skylar Thompson is the most talented quarterback that they have overall, if you're talking about the whole package. But hey, Alex Delton hasn't really played poorly so far this year. He's completing 56% of his passes. I think it's around 600 yards, a couple touchdowns, a couple interceptions. And one of those games was TCU, and they've made just about everybody look pretty bad offensively. So he hasn't really done much to lose the job. And I've mentioned it before, but the coaches and players are just so fiercely loyal to him all the time that I really have a hard time seeing them basically handing things over to Skylar Thompson, regardless of how the rest of this year goes. I think he'll get every shot, and it'll just come down to who plays better in spring and fall camp next year. I really do think it would go down to the wire.
All right, two things. One, are they done trying for Ertz's extra year?
I don't know that they're for sure done, but at the beginning of the year, like back in July, I say the beginning of the year, it was in July at Big 12 Media Days when that really became a topic again, and Jesse Ertz just himself seemed very doubtful about the opportunity to get that. So at the time, the word was they were still going to try, but they just didn't have very high hopes for it. And I think as things have worked out here for Jesse being hurt once again, I mean, I have a hard time seeing him pushing really hard for it, especially if the expectations were already low. And this is a guy that you're talking about, two major knee surgeries already in his career, and then each of the last 2 years he's had other issues on top of that. I believe it is a knee again that he's dealing with at this time. So to me, I am very, very doubtful that that winds up happening.
If Skylar Thompson, I mean, you could see him walk away this year, right? Because he'll be next year, what, a redshirt sophomore, correct?
Correct.
I mean, I guess he could stay and then leave and go down a division and play and start for 2 years. But, I mean, are you really going to leave him in a battle? Or Yeah, because otherwise it's time for him to jump now, so he's got a couple years to play wherever he might land, whether that's a Boise State or a Colorado State or a Southern Miss or something like that. I don't know that he hasn't put enough on tape that he couldn't walk into a starting job. I mean, listen, if Montel Cozart is going to walk up to Boise State and start there as a fifth-year guy, I would think that there'd be a lot of interest in Skylar Thompson. Are you really, if he's better, going to sit him behind Alex Delton?
Well, if it were me, I mean, like I said, I've been a Skylar Thompson fan for a long time in this whole deal, and it's no real knock on Alex Delton. I mean, sure, is Skylar Thompson talented enough to transfer and go somewhere else? I think undoubtedly. I think you also, if you're coming to K-State, you know, if you're a recruit that has options, which Skylar Thompson certainly did coming out of high school, and you're going to go ahead and sign with K-State, you sort of know what the deal is. I mean, I don't think they really make it much of an issue when they're recruiting somebody that, hey, you're going to have to come work and you're going to have to earn your spot. Nothing is going to be given to you. And I would guess that he had a pretty good idea that the vibe of the program was very heavily slanted towards seniority, and every job is out there for anybody to win, even if you are somebody with seniority. So I think he has a good enough idea of how the program works that he would understand that you've got to go earn it. And hey, maybe something happens the last 3 weeks of the season here where he is so good that it really does definitively give him a leg up. I mean, I think that possibility does still exist. But he has to know that being in this program, you're going to have to compete for your job day in, day out, as cliche as that sounds.
Yeah, but I think every kid thinks they'll go in there and win it. And then when they don't, they're like, screw this, I'm better, and I want out. Which, two things there. Number one, were you as taken aback by the comments of Skylar Thompson when he's like, well, I really didn't learn anything last year because I was over on scout team?
No, not really. I don't.
I'm paraphrasing, by the way. That's not a direct quote, but you summarize what he said as like basically, you know, I didn't get a whole lot out of last year because I was on scout team. I mean, that's right. I'm not too far off of whatever the exact quote is, right?
Well, see, I'll be honest with you. I do not know what that's in direct reference to.
I was
with him after the game the other day and didn't really hear that out of him. It could have been that he said that to somebody when I was not over there.
But, okay. Yeah. Well, we played the cut, and I was like, where it was not this week. It was last week, I think. And I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. And maybe I'm taking too, you know, listen, young kid, I might be making too much out of it. He may have misspoken a little bit, and I might be taking it two steps down the road. So I apologize if I am. But I thought that was kind of interesting that it's like, oh, yeah, you got to come in, you got to be your scout team guy, then you got to sit and watch for 2 years. Like, you know, if you know going in, you're not going to play for 2 years, well, of course not. Cam Newton's not going to come. Johnny Manziel's not going to come. You're not going to get any of those guys. And now, you know, Alex Delton's a good player, and if he's the better player, he's got to get on the field. The other thing was, real quick, refresh my memory, who did K-State beat out for him?
You know, that's a good question. I would have to go look it up real quick. He was a four-star recruit.
He was, and I don't remember. I remember him being like K-State from the get-go. I know that whole senior year. I'm thinking he committed like his junior year.
I was just going to say, I think he committed very early. Looks like he committed December of 2015. Colorado offer, Iowa State offer.
Okay.
So, you know, could be better there, and maybe if he had not committed fairly early on in the process, it would be different.
No, but I mean, he's the real deal. When you're beating Colorado and Iowa State, you're not beating, you know, no offense to any of our 1AA schools around, but that you're not beating them, and you're not beating Sam Houston State. You know, you're beating real competition there. So I think that's of note. All right, what's at stake over these last three games? It's like 6-6 in a bowl game. Just push it down the road, and next year is a year that they need to turn the corner, or is that not good enough?
Well, I think it depends on if you're talking about the fans or if you're talking about Coach Snyder, because the, you know, part of the significance about this to me is what Coach Snyder wants to do. I had the feeling that if the season had gone south, like say they lose the game to Texas Tech and they don't come back from 11 down, really felt like the season was teetering on becoming 2004, high expectations, just never could win a close game, and all of a sudden you go 4-8 and out. Well, when Bill Snyder had that happen in 2004 and 2005, that was enough for him to decide to go ahead and hang it up. And he's always said since he came back that he wanted to keep doing this as long as he was still effective and felt like he was making a difference. Well, if this team that was supposed to compete for a Big 12 championship all of a sudden goes 4-8, maybe that's enough for him to say, hey, it's time for me to step aside here. So to me, that's been the significance of what the back part of the schedule was going to be. Is there enough momentum in the program that he wants to keep going? Now, he may have decided to keep going either way, but to me, that is where a lot of the significance lies. For the fans, I think now it becomes a lot of it, and I don't want to make too much about Skylar Thompson, but a lot of it to me becomes, what do you have in this quarterback, at least? You're talking about making the rest of the season fun and interesting. I think it's, can Skylar Thompson go out there and get some wins and then really generate some legitimate excitement for next year? Because by itself, I don't know that 6-6 and just a random bowl game, for instance, the Liberty Bowl, which I know they're projected to go play right now, not sure that that really does it for people. But if you're seeing the development of a young quarterback who's taken over and started to win some games, then I think the fans can say, well, next year the entire offense is back, plus now we've got Skylar as our guy. That's the type of thing I think I look for here in the final three games.
All right, we're talking to John Kurtz from KMAN in Manhattan here on our Sprint guest line. Right now, callers 8 and 10 win a lotto prize pack from us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Enter your non-winning holiday scratch tickets in the Kansas Lottery Play On Loyalty Program. It's your chance to win up to $15,000 in the second chance drawing. Coming up here in January, go to kslottery.com for details. Start you with this one. Believe that Bruce Weber saw Austin Powers, yes or no?
I do. I do believe that Bruce Weber saw Austin Powers.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I didn't know if he's just referencing elsewhere. What's the final record for K-State this year?
You talking hoops, I assume?
Yes. No, football. No, what are they going these last three? And a possible bowl game if you think they get there.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I will say 7-6.
Okay. What's your prediction on the game?
I think K-State wins a very close game. It's been a really close series. Last two decided by 1 point. I'll take K-State 31-30.
31-30. Okay, we're going to get some points on the board in this one. They haven't stopped a lot of people, so that probably makes sense. And would you rather watch the NBA or Major League Baseball? Not your team, either one.
Yeah, right. Out of market game. Probably the NBA.
Yep, NBA. Just taking a little poll there. John, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Ren.
All right, John Kurtz from KMAN in Manhattan does a great job, fantastic job covering the K-State Wildcats. We'll take a break, come back, play There Can Be Only One. It's next here in the program.